The Morning Watch. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Good morning, neighbors and friends. Well, we're mighty nice. Yes, it is mighty nice to be around your way these beautiful mornings. And I know we're all busy out in our gardens, and we ought to be, but we do want to begin each day living for him, don't we? Now, coming to the microphone this morning to sing for us is Mr. and Mrs. Ben Underwood, and you've heard them before and enjoyed their messages and song. So, they're singing for you, I Am Resting in the Shelter of His Love.
God has shown his loving face from his throne in heaven above, and I found a resting place in the shelter of his love. I am resting, sweetly resting in the shelter of his love. Resting in the shelter of his love. I am resting, sweetly resting in the shelter of his love. Resting in the shelter of life oppress, when the sky is dark above, I can always find a rest in the shelter of his love. I am resting, sweetly resting in the shelter of his love. Resting in the shelter of his love. I am resting, sweetly resting in the shelter of his love. Resting in the shelter. Never blessed with this peace from heaven above, there's for you a wondrous rest in the shelter of his love. I am resting, sweetly resting in the shelter of his love. Resting in the shelter of his love. I am resting, sweetly resting in the shelter of his love. Resting in the
And thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Underwood, for that beautiful song. Some time ago, I picked up the Western recorder. Rather, a friend handed it to me first. And I picked it up again this morning. And I want to share with you a little article in this wonderful paper that stirred my own heart. It's entitled, Tell All America to Go to Its Knees. These words are from a young lieutenant in the United States Army in some far-off battlefront. He wrote this letter, parts of which I'm going to read to you, to his sister in Pennsylvania. And his letter is headed The Wilds of Nowhere, the land of death and destruction. She received it last September. Omitting parts of the letter, as I said, the following is the story or the account of this lieutenant's miraculous escape from death. I think it'll be an encouragement to our hearts this morning. When this young lieutenant knew that he was going over, he said he was going armed with the Bible. It was a small size, and he kept it in his breast pocket. He writes as follows. My buddy and I were sent out on the work I told you before was our job. He had just received important information. When the enemy discovered us, I gave my buddy the information, told him to beat it and turn to face them. It was the first time I had been faced with the necessity of pointing my gun at a man. I thought fast. Then I said, Lord, it's your responsibility now. My buddy had not obeyed my order. As I reached for my carbine, a shot from one of them struck me in the breast and blasted me down. Thinking I was dead, my pal jumped and grabbed my carbine as well as his own, stood astride my body and blasting away with both guns. He received 3 bullet wounds in his knees, but when he finished, there was not one of them left. He was amazed when I rolled over and tried to get up. The force of that bullet had only stunned me. Dazedly, wondering why, I pulled my Bible out of my pocket and in utter muteness looked at the ugly hole in the cover. It had ripped through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and on through other books and kept going. Where do you think it stopped? In the middle of the 91st Psalm, pointing like a finger at this verse, 1,000 shall it fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Sis, when I read that verse, it took me 3 feet off the ground. I did not know such a verse was in the Bible. Had read most in the New Testament. I read the rest of that chapter in utter humility. I said, thank you, precious God, and felt like a little boy that escaped the mouth of an enemy of its prey. When I got my buddy back at the post, he said, I've had enough. This convinces me. Come on. I want to get right with God, starting right now. Then he tells how his buddy said, nothing matters, not now, but this, and refused to let them tend his wounds, but stayed on his knees until he was saved. Then he said he jumped over bunks and even ran outside and shouted it to the whole camp. Well, I can't blame him. I'd have been shouting too, wouldn't you? Well, we continue to quote parts of the letter. Wish we could read it all. Since I've given my heart to God, I talk, pray, and hold meetings with the boys. And God has given me 25 souls who have prayed through and come out for God. God led me to go after my general, and I stuck until he was grounded and came through. Well, the Lord bless that lieutenant. It took a long time. He was so dignified. The Spirit of God hovered over that tent with a sort of glimmering golden haze. I tell you, sis, prayer is going to win this war. Not guns alone. Fervent, agonizing prayer. God is bringing them in one by one. Think of it, 120 men and one general in one regiment. Well, God bless that lieutenant. I wish I could shake his hands this morning. When that happens, this unit will be unconquerable. He means when this whole unit becomes out and out 100% for Jesus Christ. Pray, sis. Pray as you never prayed before. Tell everyone to pray. Tell all America to go to its knees, which is the heading of this article that I quoted a moment ago. Yes, tell all America to go to its knees. Before each decisive victory anywhere over here, sometimes for hours, sometimes for days, there has been a feeling of people praying from far away. The feeling is so strong you can hear it. One of the most stubborn of the men said in the stillness of the night, "Did you hear anything?" Sounded like people praying from some distant place. Must be hearing things in this dead place. Oh, no, my friends, they're just hearing our prayers. I'll stop and quote a moment. I quit quoting and tell you, don't forget to pray for the boys. Yes, they can feel our prayers over there. Now we quote and go on with the letter. So pray, everyone. It will have to come from afar. No one prays in this land of utter desolation. God has turned away from the horror and destruction. And destruction man has brought upon himself. Again, I plead, tell America to pray. This war will not end until nations and people have paid in blood and tears for thrusting God out of their hearts and countries. And tell them to send Bibles and more Bibles. A Bible gives a soldier confidence that God is with him. I'd like to have this letter broadcast over every radio in America. Try to get it on the air and print it in papers. Make copies of it. Send it from coast to coast. Tell them the army wants prayers and Bibles. And now listen to this charge that he gives to us. And you complacent, bridge-playing, cocktail-drinking mother, why didn't you teach your son about God instead of handing him a cigarette and a dance program? Yeah. What a challenge to us as mothers and fathers. Oh, I tell you, we're going to have to pay, some of us dearly, for the way we've let our boys go away, not giving them God and not giving them a Christian influence. Well, let me go on and finish hurriedly. Get to your knees and ask God to forgive your sins, and then pray for the army. Pray, pray, pray. And you preachers, why didn't you teach the people to pray? Only repentance for sin. Sins can stop the shelling, the killing, and the murdering. I could go on, but I am tired and so weary, but so happy to see them coming to God one by one. So tell them to keep on praying, and when you send things to our boys, send Bibles. They want Bibles. Your loving brother, Lieutenant, and we'll not give any name for that would be a secret, and we do not have it here printed in this article. Well, let's bow our heads and pray. I just feel like we ought to pray right now, don't you? Our Heavenly Father, we think of our boys over there. We think of a lieutenant writing back like this. Oh, we're ashamed that a letter should like this should have to come back to us and exhort us to pray. When we think of what we're sending our boys away, so many of them today, giving them everything in the world but Bibles, giving them everything in the world but what they should have as they go to face death. They're dying for us today. Remember them in mercy. Spare many of them this day. Enemy's bullets will be flying thick and fast. But Lord, it's thou didst protect this lieutenant. Protect others today. Put about them a shield and a hedge. And spare them from the enemy this day. Give wisdom to our leaders. And hurry this terrible conflict to a close. Bless this lieutenant out there in faraway lands as he tries to win his buddies to Jesus Christ. And all of our boys who are out there pitching away today for us, bless them and win. Draw many of them unto thyself. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. And amen. Well, friends, I just felt this morning I wanted to share this letter with you. And I'm sure you feel just as I do that you want to get away somewhere now and pray and remember our boys. Oh, we're giving them cigarettes and giving them beer and giving them dances. That's not what they need. They need God. Let's pray for them as we never have. Yes, let's hold up their hands for their dying, that I might stand right here and talk to you now. May God richly bless them. Well, you've been listening to The Morning Watch, the voice of Asbury College in Wilmore, Kentucky. Mr. and Mrs. Underwood were our guests this morning and sang for us. Wish we had more time to sing, but we'll have time for them again some other morning. And you're listening to Byron Krause, your announcer and director, saying we'd like to have some letters from you. And until tomorrow morning at 6:15, keep looking up and living for him, won't you? I'll live for him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be.